Amen. Hey, if you have your Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter 4, we are finishing up our series in 2 Timothy today as we kick off our legacy campaign next week. For a few weeks, we'll be focusing on some of that, but we finish up today in 2 Timothy. We're going to be in chapter 4. You can turn there if you have a Bible. If not, you'll see the words on the screen, or you may have a Bible there near you somewhere. But there's a famous 10K, this race of 6.2 miles that is held every year in downtown Atlanta, Georgia. And it is called the Peachtree Road Race, the Peachtree Road Race. Well, in 2023, just last year, there was this Ethiopian Olympic runner, and she was super good. Matter of fact, in 2022, she had won the race. And so here she was in 2023, phenomenal runner, and she was getting towards the end of the race, and she was in first place. Not only was she in first place, but the finish line was just like right there in front of her, maybe like 100 yards in front of her. There were some runners behind, but man, this was her race. She was going to win the race. But then something happened. Right in front of her was the police officer on the motorcycle. You know, in some of these races, they'll have somebody kind of leading the runners at the start. I never got to see that. But anyways, they lead the front. And so that way, the runners actually stay on course and everything. And so the police officer, because they're approaching the finish line, he's leading her, and he turns off course. Because again, the finish line is right there. So the police officer turns off course, and she kind of had her eyes down on the pavement, just watching her steps and everything, and just kind of also had her eyes on the police officer. So when the police officer turned course, she also left the course. And as a result, the runners behind her passed her, and as a result, she did not win the race, and as a result, she missed out on the prize. Well, today, there is a real simple, clear point that you're to hear and that you're to apply to your life. And it's this. As followers of Jesus, we are to run the race, but also finish the race. Seems really self-explanatory, seems very simple. Of course, if I'm going to run the race, I should finish the race. But you are to run the race and finish the race. The one marked out for you. The one given to you by the Lord Jesus himself. You're to run the race, you're to finish the race. And you're to run well, and you're to finish well. Or if we're to apply that here to 2 Timothy, kind of in the totality of this letter, we're to not only be the guard, we are to keep on guard until the finish line. So again, today we hit the end of 2 Timothy, and remember, it's just kind of a recap here, it's Paul who wrote this letter to Timothy. Paul was a mentor to this young pastor who was a pastor in Ephesus. Well, Timothy was a protege, so to speak, but really Timothy was more than that to Paul. Paul knew Timothy and his family very deeply, and Paul loved Timothy and his family very dearly. Timothy was to Paul, according to Paul himself, like a beloved child, a beloved son. So he knows Timothy and loves Timothy deeply and dearly like a father knows and loves his child. And Paul had written to Timothy before. It's a letter we call 1 Timothy. And in that first writing, Paul gives Timothy some guidance and direction on church conflict and church leadership and on discipleship. But you'll remember, as we saw earlier on in this series, this second letter to Timothy is a lot different. Remember, this letter, 2 Timothy, carries with it this idea of this changing of the guard. Paul, so to speak, has been the guard on duty, and now it's Timothy's turn. Many believe this letter to be Paul's last letter he ever wrote. And a couple years have passed since 1 Timothy. And here at the time of his writing to Timothy, Paul is, as he says in chapter 2, verse 9, he's suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. And in 4:6, as we'll see in a moment, Paul says that he is being poured out like a drink offering. Not only that, but many, if not all, have abandoned Paul. So he is alone. Paul is weary. Paul is suffering. Paul is living in a cultural moment of darkness and despair and on the verge of death. Meaning, the man who told Timothy, taught and trained Timothy in all things concerning the gospel of Jesus and what it means to live in Jesus, to live like Jesus, to live for Jesus, and what it means to pastor the church of Jesus, the man who is like Timothy's beloved father is suffering terribly for the sake of Jesus, and he's on the verge of death. This letter, this is it. This is like Paul's farewell speech to Timothy, his goodbye message. Yes, he longs to see Timothy again, but it's like a goodbye, and both Timothy and Paul know it. And on top of that, among his last words to Timothy is a warning. And we looked at that warning last week in depth. But in essence, Paul is telling Timothy, hey, listen, things are bad right now, but don't worry, they're about to get worse. Things are really bad. What you see on the TV is really bad. What you are hearing about is really bad. What you're reading is really bad. But Timothy, I'm telling you, I'm warning you, things are going to turn from bad to worse. Many people will come, and they already have come, and they will not only seek to attack God's word, they will seek to hijack God's word. While then pretending to be a truthful source, and while then pretending to communicate God's word of truth, all the while, however, they will be frauds, false, deceitful sources. As we saw last week, they'll be like wolves in sheep's clothing, or little devils masquerading as angels of light, communicating what Satan has always communicated, lies, so as to steal, kill, and destroy through deception, all for the purpose of satisfying or gratifying their sinful desires. And any guard, any pure guard seeking to guard God's word, to guard the good deposit entrusted to them, which is the gospel of message. So meaning anybody who follows Jesus and proclaims Jesus, Paul tells Timothy, you can book it, you can guarantee it, you will be persecuted. You will be persecuted. So again, Timothy, it's bad, but it's only going to get worse. Like in chapters 3 and 4, Paul said, mark this, book it. It's a guarantee. There will be terrible times in the last days. Why? Well, because people will be lovers of themselves. They'll be lovers of money. They'll be boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love. They'll be unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good. They'll be treacherous and rash and conceited. They'll be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness or righteousness, but denying its power. Oh, Timothy, the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires or to align the teaching up with their sinful desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say, to teach and preach what their itching ears want to hear. So they'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Timothy, it's bad now, but I'm telling you, it's going to get worse. And the temptation for you to leave the course that Jesus has given you, to leave your post, and to go join the community or the culture in what they're selling, preaching, or teaching, it will get harder and harder and harder for you to resist. The temptation will grow. Things are bad, but I'm telling you, I'm warning you, it's going to get worse. So therefore, Timothy, therefore, church, therefore, all those followers of Jesus, Paul is warning us, have nothing to do with such people, he says. Those who are not only deceiving others, but they themselves are deceived. So, in other words, stay firm in Jesus, stay firm for Jesus. No matter what. You'll be hated, you'll be persecuted. But no matter what, stay firm in Jesus, stay firm for Jesus. You must be the guard. You must be the pure guard who guards the good deposit entrusted to you, the gospel of Jesus, who guards the pure word of truth, no matter what. Despite living in a world where many, the masses, want to distort and thwart the truth, to taint the truth, again, in order to serve their evil desires and deceive the masses. Despite temptation or opposition, you and I must be and remain the guard. No matter what. But again, this is it. This is Paul's farewell speech. It's a goodbye message from a father to a son, if you will. And Paul is telling Timothy, listen, you must not, Timothy, only be the guard. You must forever keep on guard. Until you cross that finish line, no matter the temptation or the opposition, be the guard. Keep on guard. Meaning you can't run away. You can't hide. You can't quit. You can't give up. You can't leave the course, no matter how close you are to the finish line. You have to stay the course. You have to keep on guard. See, Paul is telling Timothy, see, now it's your turn. Just as your grandmother and your mother stood guard and kept on guard, Paul would say, just as my ancestors and even myself have stood guard and kept on guard, just as those who've gone before you have filled the role of the guard and who were faithful in keeping on guard, just like them, Timothy, now it's your turn. So within these final words that we're about to read of this letter, Paul is urging Timothy, compelling him, and the Lord is urging and compelling us to not only stand guard and be on guard, but no matter what, we must keep on guard. We must run the race and finish the race. We must not leave the path. We must not leave the post for any reason. We cannot let anyone or anything take us away. You set your eyes on Jesus. You stay the path until all is finished. Look at chapter 4, verse 5 through 8, 2 Timothy here. And this is what Paul writes in some of his final concluding words. He says, but you, Timothy, keep your head in all situations. Some of your translations might be sober-minded. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. Verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. What do you mean by that, Paul? I've kept the faith. So, because of that, now there is in store for me this crown of righteousness, which the Lord, Jesus Himself, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. But not just to me, but also to all who have longed for or who have loved his appearing. You stop right there. There was a moment in time, as told in Acts chapter 20, where Paul was saying another farewell, another goodbye. And in that scene, he was saying goodbye to some of the leaders in the Ephesian church, which, by the way, Timothy is a pastor in that church. And Paul was saying goodbye to them because he was leaving to go off to Rome and he didn't know if he would ever see them again. And in his farewell speech to them, he said in verse 24 of Acts 20, he says, I don't count my life of any value. Doesn't matter my education, my accomplishments, my achievements, my life in and of itself, I don't count it of any value, nor is even precious to myself. If only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus, which was to testify to the gospel, the good news of the grace of God. Nothing has any value, nor is precious to me, Paul says, if only I can just finish the race. Well, come to find out, years later, it came to pass that Paul finished his course, his race, his ministry that the Lord had given him. He kept on guard until all was finished. He ran well, he finished well. Because he tells Timothy here, I have fought the good fight. It's kind of a boxing analogy. I have fought the fight. I ran the race. But not only that, he says, I have finished the race. Meaning no matter my conditions or circumstances, meaning I have kept the faith. I was the guard. I guarded what was entrusted to me. I kept on guard despite temptation and opposition. I never gave up. I never turned away. I never abandoned. I never left Jesus for anything or anyone. No matter the pressure from the culture, no matter the pressure from the community, I never left Jesus. Therefore, there was laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord on that day will reward me. Therefore, there's the finish line. Glory on the horizon. My job is done. My job is finished. But remember, this letter is a changing of the guard kind of letter. And so Paul, what he's doing is he's using himself as an example, and he's telling Timothy, okay, my beloved child, that's me, but now it's your turn. And as we're reading this 2,000 years later, we say, okay, that was to Timothy, it was Timothy's turn, well, now it's our turn. Paul is telling Timothy, now it's your turn. You do as I did, which is what Jesus did. You also have now been given a course to run, a ministry to fulfill, a post to stand at, to be the guard and to keep on guard. But how do we do it? Again, if we are not to just be the guard, but keep on guard and to finish the race, then what are we to do? Well, Paul says it. Number one, he says there in verse 5, we are to keep. We are to keep our mind. Again, literally, it means to be sober-minded. It means to be without the influence of something that is altering your mind. So in the same way as you would a substance, what Paul is saying is, don't hand yourself over to anything or anyone except the Lord and His Word. In all situations, be single-minded. Be in your right mind. Meaning, don't be deceived. Don't be led astray. Don't be led off the path. Be secure and stable in your faith. Stand firm in your mind in the Lord. I love this quote in The Lord of the Rings by Tolkien. He says, listen, it's a dangerous business going out your door. It's a dangerous business getting on YouTube. It's a dangerous business getting on TikTok. It's a dangerous business getting on the news. It's a dangerous business listening to that podcast. It's a dangerous business going into that bookstore. Because you step onto the road, and if you don't keep your feet, if you don't keep your mind, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to. You'll be taken into the world of myths, and you won't finish the race. So Paul is saying you have to keep your mind. You have to be sober-minded. You cannot hand yourself over to anything or anyone except Jesus and his words. I don't care what color they red or they wear. Keep your mind. Number two, you have to endure. You have to endure hardship. This word could carry a lot of different meanings. You in essence, have to endure temptation, opposition, persecution, suffering. You have to endure, meaning no matter what, you have to stay on course. Like in marathons, and we've talked about this before, they talk about around mile 20 to 22. I will never experience this, mind you. But they talk about how runners hit a wall. And some of you run a marathon, you know exactly what that is. Like you hit a wall, meaning your body, when it hits that wall, just wants to shut down. Your mind begins to just want to shut down. You just want to quit. You want to give up. You want to leave the course. You want to go sit down. You've hit a wall. But what runners have to do is they have to push through that wall. They have to endure. As followers of Jesus, no matter how hard it gets for us, no matter the wall that we're pushing against or running through, we have to keep on guard. We have to stay rooted to the path. We have to continue to keep on guard no matter what. The third thing we have to do is do. The work of an evangelist. Meaning we have to actually do the work of guarding the good deposit entrusted to us, as he says in chapter 1, which is to proclaim, to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus. It's to disciple others. It's to enlist others to follow Jesus. It's to equip others to follow Jesus. It's to allow the Holy Spirit to empower others to follow Jesus. Meaning what Paul is saying, you have to be offensive. You have to take the gospel to the house. Not just on a Sunday morning in this room. You have to take it into your bedrooms and into your living rooms and into your hallways, into your house, around the kitchen table. You have to take the gospel to your work, to the office, to the field, to the classroom. You have to take it to the neighborhood. You have to be offensive. You have to do the work of an evangelist. Take the gospel of Jesus to the ends of the earth and don't let anything hold you back. And then the fourth thing he says is that ultimately you must fulfill the ministry that God has given you, the work that he's given you. You have to finish the race, the course that he's marked out for you. Meaning, don't just be the guard. You have to keep on guard all the way until the very end. As we looked at a couple weeks ago, until you stand face to face with the Lord, and he says, man, your work is now done. It's finished. So if you want to run the race, if you want to finish the race, if you want to do that well, if you want to be the guard and keep on guard, then you must stay on course. Keep the faith no matter what. Keep your mind. Stay firm in Jesus, firm in the Word. Endure any hardship. Be offensive with the gospel of Jesus. Do the work of an evangelist. And keep running. Don't let anything take you off course. Yes, things will be difficult. Yes, things will be dark. Yes, things will be despairing at times. Yes, there will come death. But Paul's message is, but you have a joy beyond it all. You have a crown of righteousness waiting for you. It's like a victor's ceremony is waiting for you, a celebration. The finish line's right there. As Paul would say elsewhere, your light and momentary troubles are achieving for you that eternal glory that far outweighs your darkness, that far outweighs your despair, that far outweighs your death even. So no matter what, stay the course. Don't turn away. Be the guard and keep on guard. This past Thursday night, we were in Ponca City, and we were downtown, and they were having their big kind of citywide trunk or treat. And so we were down there with the kids and some of their cousins, and I mean, just the entire length of this street here that you can see on the screen was businesses and organizations and ministries and churches. They had these individual booths set up, and they're passing out candy, which, what we're going to do here in a couple weeks. But every booth had a game the kids had to play before they could get their candy. You know, throw the ring around the pop or something, or around whatever, the stick, or throw a beanbag or something of this nature, right? They had all these games. And because of that, certain booths would just begin to get these really, really long lines, bottlenecked like crazy, to the joy of parents. And so we'd be standing in a line, and we were fixed in this line, set, and at times we could see the end of it, at times we couldn't, but we were in a line, and no doubt we'd be tempted, though, to look across the way, and we'd see a little bit of a shorter line. And we begin to kind of gauge the difficulty of that line and the reward at the end of that line. And so often, as we were navigating the whole scene, we were tempted to leave this line that we're in to go to the line over here because of the ease of difficulty and because of, man, look at that reward at the end of that line. And I was thinking about that this week because that's in essence what Paul is talking about here. It says, listen, as you're navigating this life, seeking to fulfill the course and the ministry God has given you, in essence what Paul is telling Timothy overall is that, man, you're going to face a lot of temptation to leave this line, to go to that line. Man, look at the acceptance people get over there. They're finding identity over there. They get to express their sexuality over there. They get to live according to however it is their truth is. Man, look at the fame that they get over there. Look at the following they get over there. Look at the promises that line has to offer. Man, look at the reward they have at the end of that line. I can't even see the end of this line. It's been painful just sitting here for 2,000 years. And the temptation is going to come for you to leave this line to go to that line. What Paul is saying is that you cannot leave this line. You cannot leave the course. Doesn't matter how long and difficult and painful it is. The reward in this line is tremendously better than that one. So no matter the difficulties, no matter the hardship, the challenges, the temptation to jump out of line, you must stay the course. And listen, many people won't. It might be somebody in your family. I guarantee you there's some in this room that won't stay. Many people won't. It's as John said in 1 John 2. Many went out from us. Many that we broke bread together, we walked alongside, we sat in Bible studies together, we grew up going to VBS together. Many went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, if they were truly born again in Christ and had the Holy Spirit of God in them, they would have remained with us. But their going only showed that none of them truly belonged to us. Many people will leave, proving they never truly were in Christ. But why would they leave? Well, here in 2 Timothy 4, if you just keep looking down a few verses down, Paul brings up this guy by the name of Demas. In essence, here's the thing for us. Don't be Demas. Because what does Paul say? He says, Demas abandoned him. And there's debate on what Paul meant by that. But no doubt, in a way, he abandoned keeping on guard. And Paul says why? Because he loved the world. Contrast that with those who love the appearing of Jesus. Demas was sitting in this line and loved the idea of that line. His eyes, his mind was set on the world, not on Jesus. And so some, even in this room, will leave for the same reason. But those who stay, who truly remain firm in the Lord and firm for the Lord, the reward is beyond comprehension. It's so much, much, much better than what the other lines are selling. So no matter what, don't just be the guard. You must keep on guard. Don't just run the race. Finish the race. The course that God has given you. Let nothing move you off this course. As Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 16, be on your guard. Always stand firm in the faith. Be courageous, be strong. But no matter what you do and how you do it, do everything in love. And for those who do, Paul gives this promise at the end of chapter 4 here. And it's really what he's been building up to in a way. But it's given, this promise is given to those who are the guard and to those who keep the guard. And this is the promise for those in Christ who truly belong to Christ. He says this in verse 17 and 18. He said, "The Lord stood by me." Like, how, Paul, could you fight the fight and run the race and finish the race? How could you keep the faith during all that? He says, well, the Lord stood by me and he strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully, completely proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was, even at times, rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed, and he will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And that's a promise. That the Lord will stand by you, he will strengthen you, so that through you his ministry will be fulfilled and finished. He will rescue you from the lion's mouth at times. He will bring you safely, ultimately, into his heavenly kingdom. So in the meantime, be the guard and keep on guard. No matter what, he's right there with you. So run and finish. And in all things, to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I'm going to lead us into this time of invitation. As the team comes forward and leads us. And for some of us in this room, for being honest with ourselves and with the Lord, we've been stepping off the course to participate in that, to indulge in that, to follow that. And he's calling us back to the course. So this time of invitation might be a time of repentance, confession. Confessing your sin, knowing he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins, to bring you back. For others of us, man, we feel the pressure, we feel the suffering, the hardship that's coming, we're just staying the course. And maybe it's just a time just to acknowledge, man, he's right here with me. He's strengthening me. He's got me. Just resting in him right now, being still and knowing that he's the Lord. For others of us, man, he's truly calling us to do the work of an evangelist. He's, man, I need to take the gospel to my family. I need to take it to my neighbor. I need to take it to my work. I need to take it to my classroom. I need to take it to the community, this person I know. I just need to take the gospel to that area, to that person. And just praying for those people, that person, to receive the gospel during this time. Whatever it is the Lord's stirring on your heart and mind, whatever's going on, these steps are open if you want to come and pray down here. I'll be down here in just a moment. But even as I pray, you can come. Father, we thank you. We love you. Especially as things turn more and more difficult, as temptation grows to leave the course, to leave the line, so to speak, to leave our post. Help us like those who've gone before us. The Timothys, the Pauls of the world. Help us to keep our minds, to be sober-minded. Help us to endure. Help us to do the work. But help us to fulfill whatever it is you've given us to fulfill. Help us to finish the race. Knowing you're right there with us, knowing you're the one who strengthens us, knowing for all those in Christ, you're the one ultimately pulling us, carrying us, pushing us across that finish line. That you will safely see us into the heavenly kingdom. So help us to be courageous, to stand firm, to be strong, and to do everything in love. Stir in our hearts and minds right now, and may we be obedient to whatever it is you're calling us to do or not do. In Christ's name I pray. I'm going to ask that you stand with us as we sing together. If you have a decision to make, something to talk about, now's the time. You come down. I've carried.